Notice there is another petition here. What is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power? And believe me, this is power that he's talking about here. And friends, I mean power. Let me just take a moment for that and look at this power that we're talking about here. It is power that, first of all, notice, and I'll give you my translation of it. What is the exceeding, the intense greatness of his power? And this is dunamis power, dynamite power, to usward who believe according to the working, and that working is energizing of the strength of his might, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him up. That is, in the act of raising him from the dead. Now, friends, that's power to raise Christ from the dead. Not only that, but the power that set him on his right hand, that's ascension power. And we don't make much of the ascension in our churches today. That is, most of us that belong to Bible churches, for some reason, we emphasize Christmas and Easter, but we seem to forget everything after that. Have you ever stopped to think of the power that took him back to the right hand of God? That, my friend, is power. We're beginning to see a little of it. Have you ever stopped to think of the power that it takes to lift a missile off of the base down yonder in Florida and take it out yonder into space? Think of the power, the physical power that it took to take men to the moon and bring them back. That is power. Why, my friend, if it took that kind of power to travel horizontally on this earth today, you'd see a Volkswagen coming down the highway with one of these great big gas trucks back of it. It'd take that much power to keep it going. But it was that power that took him back. And that they might not only know that power, Paul says that I might know him in the power of his resurrection, but that I might have it working in me. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that's named not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he's going to put all things under his feet and gave him now to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And Paul concludes on this tremendous high note here that the church is the body of Christ and he is the head of the church. And someday everything is going to be under him. And at the present time, the only thing that is under him is the church. And I believe that is the true church. Now, there's many organized groups down here today that are not listening to the Lord Jesus. I can tell you that. And it's a paralyzed church. You see, the most tragic thing in the world is to see some dear, especially child of God, lying on a bed helpless because the brain has been detached from the body. Well, I've been in many churches that are like that, haven't you? Where actually the church is detached. And there are many individual Christians today that are detached from the head. My friend, he is the head of the body. And he says, if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. In other words, I wiggle this little finger of mine, which I'm doing right now, here by myself in the studio. I'm wiggling it. You know why? Who's the head up here has got charge of that. And I tell you, when he wants you to wiggle down here, you're going to wiggle or else you're not attached to him. Oh, how important this is in these days in which we live. For as the body as one hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many, one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, been all made to drink into one Spirit, and he is the head of the body.